Liard to beat the last 100 metres. Just the only concern with Fran. And I thought race 6, number 6, Fashion Tip, could race really well also at around that $5 quote, Simon. So we'll go with those two.
Thanks, Anthony. And China will be in the yard with you today.
Yeah, China's on fire at the moment, tipping up a storm. So looking forward to the coverage on Sky Thoroughbred Central. The preview just before 12 o'clock.
We'll catch you soon. Thanks, Anthony.
Good on you, Simon. Speak soon.
Anthony Manton there. It's 27 to 11. A quick break, and then Mick Guerin will help us with this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind.
Sky Sports Radio is primed to bring you everything around Forbes Cup Day on Monday. A quality lineup will clash in the $30,000 Cup, which is always a hard-fought mile. Get all the Forbes winners Monday morning from 10 on Sky Sports Radio. In the Gig, Tuesday nights, Sky Racing 2 at 6.
Well, it's a big day of racing at Maryborough. They've got the Group 1 Redwood Classic on this afternoon. And Mick Guerin joins us now. Mick, good morning to you.
Morning, Simon. Big hi to everybody listening in New South Wales. I hope the weekend so far has been pretty good on the punt. And look, it's a funny day today, Simon, because the Maryborough meeting isn't renowned as one of the most important days of the year. There's so many big race meetings. Breeders' Challenge and the Breeders' Crown and Miracle Miles and all that sort of stuff. But today's an incredibly important day for what it's actually brought to Australian and Australasian harness racing. Maryborough was the first club to set up a trotters-only day. So all the races today are for the trotters. Now, when they first did this 20, 25 years ago, people were like, well, really? Do I really want to drive to Maryborough to go watch trotting races? Is it that big a deal? Back in those days, Simon, they were, you know, ratty things. Half the two-year-olds would gallop. The three-year-olds weren't much good. People didn't want to bet on them. It was almost a bit like jumps racing to a degree. It was almost a novelty.
Yeah.
But they stuck to the guns, and they said, Simon, we're going to stick to this. Now, what happened from that was that Harness Racing Victoria said, you know what, this works pretty well. We're going to put some more money into the trotters. And at this stage, there was a little bit of a call in Australia for pacing to be the go. It's all the go in America and all this rubbish and rah, 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 and we should be sticking to the paces. But of course, as the markets have matured worldwide for the broadcasting rights, the Europeans won't take pacing races. They'll only take trotting races. So there's a market there where we can export races that we were doing for a couple of years to France and to Sweden and to other parts of Scandinavia, where people would bet on our races if they were trotters only. Now, because Harness Racing Victoria put so much faith in them and they now have a trotters-only sale, that strengthened the trotting case in New South Wales. And last night we saw Tough Monarch with a PB, 153.7, big trotting win at Menangle. And then it sort of got out of WA. They now have trotting races in WA. And they have trotting races now in Tasmania, which they didn't have for decades. So all of a sudden, we've had a whole new pool of horses, a whole new revenue stream for harness racing. And this all started at Maryborough. So it's really important what we're seeing today. And because of the maturing of the breed, because trotters used to be almost like jumpers, horses who weren't good enough to be pacers. So let's take the hobbles off and see where we can go. These days, of course, they're an elite breed, and we have horses coming in from all over the world, like Muscle Hill and Majestic Sun. So it's an important day historically for what it's done for the harness racing industry, Simon. Even though a lot of people probably don't know that, I think Maryborough is a club who everybody in Australasian harness racing owes a debt of gratitude to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well put, Mick. That's fascinating, isn't it? So the one scratching from the Redwood today is Van Sank. With the market, with the fix, they've got Ultimate Stride, the $1.70 favourite. I'm Daddy Warbucks at $3.80. I remember I'm Daddy Warbucks as Damn Miss Warbucks. I think she was a former Kiwi and then came over to Dean Braun.
Yeah, she was an open class trotter, and she could really go. And that's one thing to do find with the trotters. It's very similar to the elite level gallopers, like the classic gallopers. The blood just regenerates. So, you know, so often the blue bloods from the same family will come through. Whereas, you know, for example, with some of the sprinting gallopers or some of the pacers, they can be a generational miss. But in the trotters, you'll notice a lot of the good mares lead good foals, which isn't always the case with the pacing mares. And this race is interesting because Ultimate Stride, who's the favourite, is a horse who probably wasn't going to be here. Bill Williamson, his trainer, wanted to put him aside, but he's owned by Emilio and Mary Rosati, who own the favourite in both the big trotting races today. Of course, they're New South Wales-based. And they said, look, we want to roll the dice. We want to go to this, and we want to go to the Breeders' Crown. They paid $160,000 for the horses a yearling trotter. That's an enormous amount of money. He's beautifully bred. He might just be a little bit underdone for somebody like this, because he is a horse I think is going to be a better three-year-old. But the best version of him, if he trots all the way, and he was good from a standing start winning last week, will probably win this. So I can't tip against him, Simon, but $1.70, it might be a multi-bet take, but I can't tip people into $1.70. It's not fair backing at those odds for a two-year-old trotting race. But the best version of him, Anthony Butt, to do the driving, probably would the Redwood, because those New Zealand two-year-old trotters tend to be enormously advanced on the Australian two-year-old trotters because they've had so much more regular group racing.
And the stand start as well, hopefully, well, for two-year-olds, just to get them all away cleanly, you'd like to see.
Yeah, it tends to be a ragged old start. It tends to be a race, the Redwood, where if you don't settle in the top five, you probably can't win. And Simon, I've almost given up trying to predict what's going to happen in standing starts. For years, I've said to people, mate, this will happen and this will happen, and you're completely wrong. So I would say that there's no reason to believe one's going to step more than the others, and that's all I can say. So it's probably not a factor. You can't factor it in because you're not sure what weight to put on that factor. If you feel like having a bet in the Redwood, do so. I'm not going to bet into the race. I think there's better races to bet into, including the feature of the day. Even though it's called Redwood Day, which is kind of an anomaly, the feature of the day is actually the Victorian Trotters Derby, which goes just after 4 o'clock Sydney time.
And the Derby has pretty much saved open class trotting in Australia, Mick.
Look, it has, because it said to people, if you breed a trotter or buy a trotter at the sales, then there's a place for these things to go. And then the Breeders' Crown now have separation of the trotters, so they have 2 and 3 year old trotters divided. Males and females have their own heats and finals, which is a huge step. And again, this has all come from the fact that clubs like Maryborough and one of the clubs in New South Wales, who I can't pronounce, probably Coonawarra. I always get it wrong, so I'm not going to bastardise it too much. These clubs believed in the trotter when people were giving up on them. The Derby's a really interesting race because the favourite's a horse called Liberty Stride, who on its Australian debut galloped and lost 70 metres and went enormous to win. And it's $2.10, but it's a false favourite at those odds. You can make a case for 3.5. But it jumped out of its gear because the horse rushed up outside it on its Australian debut. So it wasn't the fact it galloped from the standing start. It galloped because of nerves and not knowing what to do. Well, that's a very good chance of happening again today. Trained by a genius in Phil Williamson and driven by Anthony Butt, there's lots of pluses for the horse, but it's got no experience off the mobile at all. Now, a horse like All Cashed Up Inside, it flies the gate. There'll be horses outside it coming across. It's 50-50 to gallop. I genuinely am stunned the bookmakers have it that short. I would mark it 3.7, 3.8. It might just win. But by no means is it a $2.10 chance. That gives us, new listeners and me here, a chance to back 3 or 4 other horses in the race, because there's so much more percentage being put into the market with the $2.10, meaning, you know, that basically sort of 45% gone or 55% gone. So I think it's a good race to bet.
So outside of the favourite then at $2.10, what you'd be looking at, Majestuoso and Kratos, horses like that?
I think they'll go hard early. And this is 26.90, Simon. It's an awfully long way for some of these horses. So they'll be absolutely knackered at the 600, the inferior ones. And then I think the swoopers will come. So the horses like All Cashed Up, and potentially a little bit slower, but again, big warnings over here. They'll be on the front end of the field and they'll roll along. But I think the swoopers will come. And Majestuoso was really good winning over 26.90 how long ago now? 10 days ago. So that's a big help. So he's proven he can do it, Andy Gath and Kate Gath. They know how to win these type of races. So I can see him looming into the race. He's been heavily backed. They opened him at $6 or $7. He's into like $3.8 or $4, depending on where you shop. He's a genuine chance in the race. I'm also likely to be back in the field as Kratos. Now, I need to give you some disclosure on Kratos. I own him. He's my horse. So I have to tell people that before I start keep talking. He's won 4 races in New Zealand this season and $60,000. In all 4 races, he's beaten older horses, which is no small deal in New Zealand harness racing. He's no star. He's no superstar, but he's good enough to win this race, and he's around $6, $6.50, depending on where you shop. If him and Majestuoso can settle off a hot speed and these horses start to get tired, they can swoop into the race. And if I'm betting today, I backed Majestuoso when the odds came out because I thought the draw was irrelevant, and I'm happy to back my own horse, Kratos, at around the 6.5. I'm happy to be on those 2, and if Liberty Store leads and beats you, well, I don't want to take the 2.1 anyway.
No, fair enough. And even the 2.90, the place for All Cashed Up, that's probably a good small heavy bet there. As you said, you can see it storming home.
Look, I think he can lead, but he led in this race, on the lead-up race 10 days ago, and he galloped on the home bend. I just don't think he's strong enough for 2600 or 2690. I can really see this race setting up where the swoopers come. And yeah, there's a few other ones there who got Royal Charlotte, who won the New South Wales Oaks. These horses can swoop into this race. I just think any horse who burns in that first lap, unless it's Liberty Stride, who probably has the raw ability to do so if it behaves, I think they're going to battle over the last 400 metres. So just remember, this is an awfully, awfully long way for these three-year-old trotters, because they do it in New Zealand quite often. They've only had one attempt at a staying race in Australia so far this year, and that was one on this track 10 days ago by Majestic Oso.
Looking ahead to 3 weeks from now, on Saturday the 24th of August, and in fact, yes, it's the 24th, and we've got the Breeders' Crown Finals, which will be a magnificent day of racing.
Look, it's actually not many songs, but the key factor is this. The Breeders' Crown has changed the rules enormously. It used to be there was heats in New Zealand and all the states of Australia, and you went to your heat, like in New South Wales over at Menangle, and if you won your heat, beautiful, you're off to the semi-finals, off you go. But now all the heats are in Victoria. So if you want to go to the Breeders' Crown, you've got to race in Victoria. So half the people who are nominated, Simon, go, well, I'm not going to go. I can't win. I'm not going to go to my heat down the road. I'm not going to go 1,000 k's to go to a heat. So the horses who are now going to turn up on the Breeders' Crown, there's heats Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, are going to be horses who the trainers think can at least make the final. So it's really changed the dynamic of the series. There's not just a whole lot of people throwing darts at the dartboard and thinking, oh, well, we're nominated, we'll have a crack. What they're doing now is saying, my horse needs to be going pretty darn good to be going to the Breeders' Crown. So those heats, the trotters don't have heats. They have heats, but they're later because they don't have semi-finals. The heats for the pacers of this week, there's about 5 New Zealand horses coming across. There'll be some from Queensland and some from New South Wales, but most of the other states aren't going to travel. If you see a horse travelling to the Breeders' Crown this week, that means the connections genuinely give it a chance, because it's a lot more difficult to win for interstate raiders than it has been over the last 20 years.
Okay, good stuff. Righto, Mick, we might as well wrap it up there, but enjoy your Sunday and a big card of racing at Maryborough. Thanks very much for helping us out with Pacing Rewind.
Simon, it's always a pleasure, mate, and good luck to everybody having a punt today.
There he is, Mick Guerin. It's 10:45. We'll take a quick break and then take a look at the world of greyhound racing.
At Kennards Hire, whether you're a chippy, bricky, sparky, or any other kind of tradie, we've got your back. With over 100,000 pieces of equipment, including pipe cameras, material hoists, concrete grinders, demolition hammers, and more. Kennards make your job
easy. Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko, tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit the kosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Daily Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Yeah, let's chat about greyhound racing now. And Michael Kelly from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is on the line. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning, Simon. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It's been a big week with plenty of heats of the Nationals that have been run.
It has indeed. It's a good time of year, the Nationals. It's usually in August each year. And there was heats run, as you said, throughout the week, Thursday night, various locations. And, of course, in New South Wales, we had ours at Wentworth Park last night. Two fantastic heats. Smaller fields, but the quality was there, that's for sure. So quality rather than quantity, and it certainly shone through on the night, Simon.
Well, we're going to have a listen to a replay of the first of those New South Wales National heats, which was taken out by Jamella Jett.
Racing, Jamella Jett got away nicely. On the inside, Nangar Blaze showing speed, punching through Corborn Marty, but Jamella Jett got across. He led by 2 into the back over Corborn Marty. Nangar Blaze, good odds buddy. Then Mogan Dooney and Nangar Diva. Jamella Jett off the top end. Led by 2 over Corborn Marty. 3 to good odds buddy. They swing. Jamella Jett, he's in full cry. Corborn Marty can do no better. Jamella Jett too good. Jamella Jett 2.5. Corborn Marty. Followed in by good odds buddy. Further back of the run came Nangar.
Replay there of the battler's call of the first time. The National Sprint heats last night won by Jamella Jett. Mick, and trainer Andrew Crouch joins us now. He's online. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Adam. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Nick. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. It's as Simon mentioned there, Jamel and Jet winning that first heat. But you also got the second heat as well with Sorry Scott. It was a big night for the Crouchers.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was a good night. It makes the cold mornings a lot easier.
But I guess it's no surprise we all know Jamel and Jet, second in the Million Dollar Chase last October. One of the really consistent, you know, free-for-all performers at the moment.
You know, that's the thing. He may not be the fastest dog out, but he chases his ass off, and he's, there wouldn't be many more consistent dogs going around than him.
I guess, yeah, he showed last night. Back in May, you know, jumped on the bunny and 29.64, and same story last night. You know, quickly got to the lead and can carve out figures when he's in front.
Yeah, that's it. He's not the most brilliant beginner, but if he gets a bit of room to move early, then he can definitely find the front. And yeah, we weren't shocked that he did last night with a 6 dog field. And once he found the front, it was going to be hard to run on.
With him, box 3 for the final. How does that suit?
I don't think the box is really worrying too much. I think it's more what happens around him. There's a bit of pace on his inside. There's good odds for Arda jumps, which I think could make it difficult for him, but if he can sit right on his back, it could be anyone's race down the back coming into the home turn.
The other girl that you got in, Sorry Scott, she's got a bit of a story. She fractured a hock late last year.
Yeah, she was a $1.30 favourite at Wentworth Park, and she got beat. She came third, but after the race, her hock swelled up, and we realised that she'd fractured it. So, yeah, she's been on the sideline for about 5 or 6 months now, but she's come back in this preparation. She's won 4 from 5 now, and she's going as good as ever.
Like with her, you decided to basically just take your time with her, but you used a bit of a different technique in terms of, you know, getting her ready to come back for racing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, we kept the kennel for about 4 or 5 weeks and just made sure that the hock had healed and formed together. And then we actually put her out in the yard with some of our pups that we're rearing at the moment. I think they're only about 5 months old at the time, and she just, we thought she was the sort of dog that would relish a bit more confidence. Putting her out of the pup, she sort of became a boss out there, and she's come back and she's racing as good as ever. So that seems to have done the trick.
You think even like before the injury, was that something that you felt that you and your dad felt that she actually needed to get a bit of confidence to realise, you know, that she is a bit good?
Yeah, no, definitely. We're looking at the time and giving her a spell. But it's always hard to give a dog a spell when sort of they're racing in their feet. So it's sort of, I guess it was a blessing in disguise. It came at a good time. As soon as it happened, I knew what the plan was going to be in putting her in the yard and trying to get her a bit of confidence. And yeah, it looks like it worked.
And she's, whilst everyone's talking to Mella Jett, you know, she's obviously got to be a chance. She's run 29.65 around Wentworth Park, this prep. So she can run time, particularly if she does get to the front.
Yeah, no, definitely. The good thing about her is she can do it on both ends. She's run, I think, 5.44 at Wentworth Park early, and she's a pretty consistent beginner, and then she can also run home in 11.60. So sort of if she finds the front, it takes a really good dog to run her down. So I think drawn out in the 8, she's a good hope.
Yeah, as you were saying, she had the red last night, but the 8 probably suits her better to give her a bit of space out there.
Yeah, no, definitely. She's the sort of dog that just likes to run her own race, and she does get off the track a little bit, so I think being out in the 8, especially on the pace on her inside race, she could just come down the outside, and if she does get a good run through that first turn and find the front or lob on the leader's back, she's going to be really hard to hold out.
And not a bad effort for you and your father, having 2 finalists in the New South Wales Sprint Championships, and you've only got 3 racing dogs in the kennel at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's it. We've only got 6 kennels at home, but 3 of them are empty at the moment. We just like to keep the team small and sort of focus on quality as opposed to quantity. So that's good.
But I guess it was only a week before last that the Tab Million Dollar Chase was announced, and Jamel and Jet came within a short space of actually claiming the prize last year. I would imagine that'd be his ultimate target again this year. Would you look at Sorry Scott as also a potential, you know, get through this, but potentially will she tackle the series as well?
Yeah, no, definitely. As long as she's fit when the time comes around, to have a crack at it. It's the biggest race in the world, and it's not every day you have that in your own backyard, and she's familiar with Wentworth Park and the country tracks that you've got to qualify up. Although she may be outgraded, she's proven that she can run the time the group dogs can, so she deserves a crack at it. And like I said, you only get one chance, so may as well have a go.
Well, I guess it's a similar situation. You know, not too many people had heard of Jamela Jett, you know, leading into the series last year, but you know, he really stepped up.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he had only had about 12 starts when he won the heat in the final of the regional qualifier at Richmond. So, yeah, it's like I said, they're both quick enough to turn on. They've just got to step up on their game, and you still need a bit of luck, any dog can win. So, yeah, we'd be silly not to nominate when the time comes around.
But before then, best of luck on Thursday night in the final New South Wales National Sprint Championship, and hopefully one of the two might be a representative in Perth at the end of August.
He's open. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, Adam. Simon Adam Crouch, who along with his father, Andrew, prepares that small team of just three. They are going to add a few numbers coming in the near future, but for the moment they're focusing on three, and two of those are in the final of the New South Wales Sprint Championship.
And the term fixed studs have reacted. Mick, say $3 for Jamela Jett. Good odds are Rada from box one is $3.30. And Sorry Scott, who we talked about, there is an $8 chance alongside Corborn Marty. The other two in single figures are Good Odds Buddy and Miley Nisma, who are both at $6. So you're with Jamela Jett for the final on Thursday night?
Look, I think, yeah, class, you'd have to be with Jamela Jett. But, yeah, as Adam was talking about then, you know, Sorry Scott's got plenty of ability, plenty of talent, can do it either way, leading or coming from behind. Has run time at Wentworth Park, and he's well boxed out in the eight. Yeah, $8, you know, sounds like a bit of value for me. I'm not sure about you.
Yeah, that looks to be an open race, that's for sure, and there'll be money for Good Odds Harada, you'd think, now it's drawn box one.
Absolutely, and also for its brother, Good Odds Buddy as well, you know, real consistent performer, wouldn't surprise. It's a really good field. As I said, we had quality, not quantity in the heats, and quality has certainly, you know, come right through to the final. It'll be a fantastic night on Thursday night, you know, with these nationals finals, the idea is that all states do hold their finals on that Thursday night, so it'll be a fantastic night of greyhound racing around the country, and particularly for us here at Wentworth Park.
What were some of the other heats from around the country that caught your eye?
Hey, there were some good ones last Thursday night. We had our heats in Brisbane, Launceston and Angle Park in Adelaide. In Brisbane, the first day, the impressive winner was Craig Hazelgrove's Wise Misty, who beat the favourite for the series, Damn Slippery. Damn Slippery did get through to the final, so and will no doubt be a great chance in the final. The second heat went to a 40-1 chance, Amber Marie for John Reamer. In Launceston, they actually had three heats, and coincidentally, Be Like Bill and Hello Rhonda both got the same time, 29.67. The other heat was taken out by Leonard Boy in 29.93, and that'll be an interesting final that they have on Thursday night. And in Adelaide, a dog that a lot in New South Wales would know, it was trained here for quite some time and raced around the South Coast tracks, Fantastic Yankee. It's at the time standard of 30-12, and the other heat went to Kenya Chase in 30-17. And then last night, as I said, we had the New South Wales heats, but we also had heats in Perth at Cannington, and again in Victoria at the Meadows at Cannington, which will stage the final on August 24. Fantastic performance by a dog called Premium Share, clocking 29.61 to win its heat by 6.5 lengths. Lightly raced, it's its 11th win from 21 starts. Just to put that in context, as I said, 29.61. The other heat was won by 88. In 30.06, and the runner-up to 88 was West on Augie, who's, of course, the defending champion of the National Sprint Series. So both of those two went into the final. That'll be a great final on Thursday night, but you'd imagine Premium Share, sort of times it's been running lately, is going to be very hard to beat. And then, of course, in Victoria last night at the Meadows, it was the usual big race suspects that led the way. Orson Allen winning his heat in 29.93 before the very, very consistent and very fast Black Opium from Jason Thompson kennel set the time standard in 29.71. So those two will no doubt be favoured to battle it out on Thursday night in the Victorian final for the Victorian representative to get through. So it's, as I said, yeah, some fantastic racing all around the country, and it'll be a great night on Thursday night, and that'll all lead to that final on August 24 at Cannington.
Now, the tab had the fixed odds all in for that final on the 24th, where Orson Allen Allen is at 220. And now Tuesday at Goulburn, we've got the Zoom top on Mick, and you had a couple of standouts from the heats last week.
There was indeed, yeah, there was four heats held, but the two obvious standouts were Neil Staines' Lightning Vision, which got 24.71, and a dog called Power of Oscar, which is only trained in Wagga by David Jones, and it ran 24.76. They were the only two dogs that actually broke the 25-second mark, and Lightning Vision's come up with the one in the final on Tuesday, and Power of Oscar, unfortunately, has come up with the squeeze in the four. But you would imagine that both of those speedy customers would be very, very hard to beat, and you'd have to probably lean towards Lightning Vision with the box draw, but anything's possible in those feature races. And congrats to the Goulburn Club. It's a fantastic event, and there'll be a big day on Tuesday.
We've got Gunnedah Greyhound Racing on today. Shortly after 11, we'll get Dan Russ along for a couple of winners. But it's now less than 4 weeks, Mick, until the TAB Million Dollar Chase kicks off, which will be in Gunnedah.
It's come around very quick, hasn't it, Simon?
Yeah.
It was only a couple of weeks ago that it was launched. But, yeah, no, it's less than 4 weeks. Yeah, 4 weeks from last night, it'll be. And, yes, it's looming as a fantastic series again this year. We're all looking forward to it. Gunnedah on August 31. It'll be over there. Their events will be held over the 527 trip. There's actually a very interesting 527-metre race on at Gunnedah today, and one of the stars in that race, or potential stars, is Charmaine Roberts as Caitlin Keeping, obviously a group race winner already, won the Black Top last year and raced successfully in the Million Dollar Chase last year. And Caitlin Keeping has had a couple of starts, run very quick times, actually set a hand time track record of 22.60 at Gunnedah over the shorter trip last start. It's having its first crack over the 5.27 today, and the last little bit of the race will be a bit of a question mark, but it'll be interesting to see how Caitlin Keeping goes. I know that Charmaine and her partner Shane Stiffer are going to attack the Million Dollar Chase, and they're looking at places like Dubbo and also Bathurst, where she does race well, and as well Gunnedah. So it'll be worth having a look at that race today just for a bit of a lead-in. I think a few trainers will start targeting these Gunnedah meetings just to get a feel for it and potentially open up on that August 31 night of heats.
Good stuff, Mick. At 11 o'clock, we'd better wrap it up there, but thanks for your help as always, and enjoy the week ahead.
Thank you, Simon. We'll talk again next week.
There he is, Michael Cowley. So it's 11 o'clock, and the crisp steeplechase from Sandown is only 5 minutes away. We better take a look at the market here. Number one, Wells, is 260.140. Two Bit of a Lad is 6.90. Three, Luke, is $8. Four, Lucky Tonight, is $8.90. Five, Slowpoke Rodriguez, at $3.90. Then you've got six, Dan's a Doozy, at 32. Seven, It's a Clap of Thunder, at $38. Eight, Four Minius, at $50. Nine, Truly High, is at $11.90. So it's $2.60 for your favourite, which is Wells in the crisp steeplechase. With Sandown starting early, we'll head to Warren Huntley and get his thoughts on the crisp, and then we'll get back to the preview for Sandown from race two onwards at around 10 past 11. But we do have Warren Huntley on the line now. Sandown's on a soft six and on the lakeside track, incidentally. Warren, good morning to you.
Morning, Simon.
Good jumps racing at Sandown this afternoon. The crisp steeplechase is always a beauty.
It is, and the Grand National Hurdle. And interestingly, I suppose, they've got to do some work with the obstacles, etc. But the crisp kicking off the program at 11.05, I hope there's enough eyes on it, because it's a terrific contest.
Let's take a look at the crisp. We've got a field of nine, and there are no scratchings. So 4,200 metres for this steeplechase. Wells is the $2.50 favourite over Slowpoke Rodriguez at $3.20. Lucky Tonight is $6, and Bit of a Lad, Warren, is $7.50.
I'm going to go with Wells. The set weights and penalties conditions of the Moss Trooper and the crisp really suit him, because he's got such a high rating, because he's just such a good chaser. And the handicapper can't give him the weight that he's earned with the set weights and penalties conditions. So I'm with one ahead of two, Bit of a Lad, who I think will appreciate getting out to this trip. Five, Slowpoke Rodriguez, is a real dour staying type and very effective over the obstacles. And four, Lucky Tonight, whose form ties in with Wells, I've got in his next best. 1, 2, 5, 4.
So 1, 2, 5, and 4. Thank you, Warren. And we'll preview the rest of the card in around 8 minutes from now. They are coming up at Healdsville, so we need to head there for the first. And it's $2.40 for number five, Super Switch. and $2.90 for number two, Federal Wazza.
10 take out.